Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back in our home church in Colorado. I feel overdressed, which I'm comfortable with, but I think I'll just go home and preach in shorts every Sunday from now on. Of course, 112 degrees a month from now, it'll fit, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, good to be here. Thank you for that great message, brother, you gave. And so now I know this morning why I'm supposed to preach on what I'm preaching on, because it directly ties in, and even some of the songs about information, is it information enough? We would say no, it isn't. So let's turn to James chapter 1. I want to speak on obeying the truth. Obeying the truth. James calls it being doers of the word and not hearers only. So James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away. Now let's pause. He's observing himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the whole counsel of God, the whole Bible, the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continues in it. In other words, he obeys what he's learned. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, meaning living the Christian life. This one, only this one, not the forgetful hearer, but the doer, this one will be blessed in what he does. So let's pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Our Father, my Father, I know, and you know more than I know, that I'm weak. I'm inadequate. I don't have what it takes to give to my brothers and sisters and to this dear church what you want to say to them through this text. So, Lord, we look not to a man, we choose to look away to you. And we set our focus on the living God, our Father, who speaks. We set our focus on the Good Shepherd who causes His sheep to hear His voice. We turn to You, Holy Spirit. You're the one who inspired the Word. You're the one who illuminates it, quickens it, who gives us those eyes to see, our brother was talking about, who gives us ears to hear and gives us fresh hearts to receive. So, Lord, now do that supernatural thing beyond the natural. Speak through your word. Speak through me as imperfect and needy as I am. Speak through me. And feed every sheep here and speak to every heart in the way that you know is needed. Thank you that you hear us. In Christ's name, amen. Which is more important? Extensively knowing the Bible or obeying the Bible? James, perhaps, is the most practical epistle in many ways in the whole New Testament. Think of the, let's just survey in our minds the things he talks about. Trials, temptation. He goes after the rich guys who don't acknowledge God, who think they're taking it with them. Wealth and the eternal perspective on it. Faith, and how faith must have corresponding what? Works. Faith without works is, it's not weak faith, it's dead faith. Faith and works. He talks about our words. Be quick to hear. He talks about our listening and slow to speak, quick to hear. So he's hitting us right where we live, Monday morning through Sunday night, completely. He talks about preference towards some people out of respect to persons and disrespecting, minimizing lesser people. He talks about grumbling and complaining. Now, we do that in Texas. I bet it's still here up here. Grumbling and complaining about things. You know, I told friends of mine, you know, I'm sick as I can be about saying the word mask or putting it on. Grumbling and complaining. Here I am, healthy citizen. Come on, Mac. Live what you preach. Grumbling and complaining, there's not a place for it. He speaks about the future coming of the Lord, right? We sang about it. James hits us right where we are about pride or humility. And I was talking to my friend in Crested Butte, Rick Davis, yesterday. And we were talking about how he said, I have this friend who everything he says about plans or if they're going to meet, he says, well, yeah, we'll meet the Lord willing. And James says, here's these guys, hey, this mover and shaker, this entrepreneur, he says, I'm going to move to Dallas, I'm going to move to L.A. and live there this long, and I've calculated, here's my plan. And James says, he ought to say, if I live, and if the Lord wills, I'll do it. So James is astounding in his application. So let's look at the practical nature of this, the text here this morning. The emphasis of James here is that obedience, practical, real obedience. Our brother said this morning, if you're not intentional about, if you don't make a decision to apply something and walk in it, you won't do it. You'll forget. And so, obedience, James says, must accompany knowledge. All of us know more about the Bible than we're living up to right now. And often I think this, I feel I've studied the Scriptures for 45 years, and there's so much of it I don't have discernment or revelation or illumination on yet. But I often feel this. I still read books when it's right. But I often really believe this. If I had never read another book but this one, if I didn't gain a bunch of more knowledge, if I just applied in obedience what I know, I'd be better off in a way. Because the more knowledge we gain without obedience, the more accountable we are to Christ. So James is just hitting us where we are. So here, let's just scan through these verses. So we see he talks about doers of the word, hearers and not hearers, obedience to the word. But if we're not that, he says that we are only a hearer. And that doesn't do us any good except give us accountability. But we're not only not just a hearer. He says, if we hear truth and learn and learn and learn, and we don't do it, we're self-deceived. How? Because we have believed the subtle lie that knowledge, intellectual knowledge, is synonymous with godliness. It's synonymous with obedience, and it's not. If we know things and we truly learn the truth, but we're not going away from worship, from Bible study, from daily reading, if we're not going away to say, all right, there's light that I got. What am I to do with it? I'm to apply it and walk in it and practice it. If we're not right there serious about that here, we're deceiving ourselves. That knowledge, well, that was good information. And we go away from church. That was a great, great teaching. All right, how do we apply? How many of us even thought, you know, I should take a week off every year when I was converted and just celebrate and just worship? I thought about it. I don't know that I'll do it. Maybe I should if I remember. You see what I'm saying? So here, James says in verse 25, the one who looks into Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, looks into it, you're taught, you're learning, you're reading, you're studying, you're increasing in the knowledge of the truth, you're looking into the great expansive Grand Canyon of the Word of God. This makes the Grand Canyon look like the little creek by my house. And so we're looking into this perfect law of liberty and doing what? Continuing in it. That's application. That's living it. That's doing what it says. All right? So here is gaining of knowledge, looking into, but that's only half of it, right? He who looks into and continues, that is obedience. That's applying what God says to you. Can you imagine if you had a fresh heart and you said, I'm going to note and seriously remember the things God speaks to me that are points of obedience. And then I'm going to start intentionally doing it. If you don't make a decision to do it, if you don't make the choice, you won't. So, the Bible is light. The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Having light, we must walk in it. Nobody can walk in your light. You can't walk in anybody else's light. And you can't put your light of preference or secondary convictions on others' conscience. That's legalism. So, having light and walking in it, being not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. This is what Jesus meant in John 13 when he said, if you know these things, can anybody finish it? Happy are you if you do them. That's pretty heavy. So therefore, James says at the end of verse 25, there are two kinds of people. The hearer who forgets to obey what they hear, and the doer. And notice this blessed promise at the end of verse 25 that only applies to the one. It's a promise only for those who become doers. He says, that one, he, she, they will especially be blessed in their life if they're obeying the truth. So let me just pry a little bit. How much are you a doer of the truth, an obeyer of the truth, as opposed to just gaining knowledge about the Bible? Think about it. This always just deals pretty strongly with me. Am I a forgetful hearer sometimes? Does that characterize my walk? Or am I consistently, increasingly growing in being a doer of the Word? So you think about the commands in Scripture. I mean, aren't there just, they're exceedingly broad, they're exceedingly practical, they're exceedingly wonderful, exceeding great and precious promises, and gospel-driven commands. So an example, just turn to Romans 12. Let's think about that real quick. Let's test ourselves this morning and see how we're doing. I thought about, Linda and I were memorizing as we came through Nevada, Utah on the road. We were memorizing Romans 12, 9 through 13. And we hadn't gotten past that, but I read past that. So just think about this. There's 27 brief, specific, direct, practical commands from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. So, I'm just going to talk about them, and you read it, and then you ask yourself, am I doing that? 27 brief, clear directives given that are not just information for our knowledge, but they're for us to follow and practice and obey and actually do them. So, let's just examine these and think about them. Verse 9. Is your love consistently genuine or hypocritical? How are we doing there? Are you serious about living and practicing and being a doer of the Word? Do you hate what is evil? And do you cleave to that which is good? Are you consistently affectionate to one another with brotherly love? I think that's going on here. But see, in the mundane, can we be kind and loving to the difficult boss, to the difficult neighbor? Do you give honor and preference to others above yourself? Are you slothful in your work, in your business, in your service? Or are you fervent in spirit in serving the Lord? How are you? We're looking in the mirror here. Let's see ourselves clearly. Are you fervent in spirit serving the Lord? See, these things by the Holy Spirit have to be cultivated and practiced. What else? Do you rejoice in hope? Romans 5, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Are you patient under tribulation? It's hard, isn't it? Tribulation produces what? Patience, Romans 5. Are you continuing steadfastly in prayer as a believer and as a church? Do you give to the needs of the saints? When you see one, a need that you can meet, do you go tell Dorian, hey, or Mandy, you know, they need something, or do you go do it if you can? Distributing to the needs of the saints. Are you given to hospitality? How often do you have people over? How often do you say to a new person in the church, hey, let us go to lunch with us. Come over Tuesday night for dinner. Our hearts and our doors of our house are to be hospitable. Are you practicing that? What are your excuses for not doing it? And how could you do it? You know, a single person here can be hospitable. They may be in an apartment. They may live with their parents. But you can be hospitable by saying to a couple here, hey, I hadn't gotten to know you very well. I'd love time with you. Could we go to lunch? That's being hospitable. But see, we don't think about these things enough, do we? We don't remember them. We don't take them to heart. We're a forgetful hearer instead of a doer who practices it. What else is there? Do you bless those who treat you wrongly and even persecute you? Lord, please bless them. Or do you say, Jesus, get them? Bless those who persecute you and mistreat you wrongly. See, that's supernatural. You can't do that if the Spirit isn't living in you. And if you're not submitted to His fullness and His control, bless those who persecute you. Here's 15 is a big one. When those around you are happy about something and they're rejoicing, do you just listen and say, well, good? Or do you actually enter into their joy? Do you rejoice with them? It's a command. And then the other thing, someone's brokenhearted, they're weeping. Do you enter into their grief in the moment? And does your heart feel compassion? Where if your eyes aren't weeping, your heart and your love is sorrowful with them, and they feel it. How are we doing on these things? I mean, you may already be cut in two everywhere, like I am, but let's read on. Be of the same mind toward one another. Walk in unity and love, and do not let differences separate you. Be of the same mind. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Psalm 131 is great on that about David. I didn't pursue high and lofty things. I chose low things. You know, if somebody's famous or rich or does something awesome, you know, we would tend to think it's the greatest to go to the high, great things. But this says, associate with the humble. Associate with the humble. We had breakfast in a restaurant in Utah. Just a little old diner came in. We sat down, and there was a booth over there empty, and there was a sign on it that said, Stephen King sat here. Okay, I want the bacon and eggs. You know, people probably sat over there and thought they were something better because they sat where he sat. Do not set your mind on high things, worldly things, great accomplishments, but associate with the humble. I love in a restaurant a hardworking server. And sometimes you can read them. You can tell if they're chipper, joyful. You can tell if they're beat down and sad. I love to just talk to them. I was in an airport in New Orleans flying somewhere, and I stopped at a counter to check my flight. And young woman there, nobody around. And I said, how are you doing? She said, I'm okay, which meant she's not okay. So I said, well, could I pray for you? How could I pray for you? She shared a little bit. Nobody's walking up. And I said, well, let me pray for you. So I just prayed for her day, prayed for her issues, her life. And when I finished, she said, you've just made my day. I'm bumping you up to first class. And she did. Now, that doesn't mean every time I stop at a counter and an airline's up. No. I'm just saying, associate with the humble and the needy and not those that are great. How about this one? Oh, boy, this is big. End of 16. Do not be wise in your own opinion. We all think we're wiser than we are. I still sometimes think I'm 35. I could do that. No, you can't. You know, don't be wise in your own eyes. And unless we have spiritual eyes, we will be wise in our own eyes. Well, I'm going to stop. I could go on, but you get my point. These things are such a serious matter, not only to know them and hear them, but to do them. Are we as serious about living and practicing the truth and being a doer of the Word as we are about knowing the Bible? Knowing the Bible is extensively, phenomenally, supremely important. We know that. But applying it and living it is the second half. It's the walk. So in closing, let me apply this to us a little bit. Why be a doer of the Word? Why? Number one, because obedience is the supreme importance in the Christian life. I think it was Stephen Curtis Chapman had a song that, and he was quoting Dietrich Bonhoeffer, "If we believe, we'll obey." It's really true. Why be a doer of the Word? Because this is given us not for information, not for intellectual curiosity, but for obedience. Remember when Moses, his last message ever, he said, "Take heed unto all that God has said, for it is your life." Then Joshua said, remember Joshua 1? To do it, to live it. So the first reason is obedience is the supreme importance in the Christian life. Second reason, why should we be a doer? Because these things are commands, not suggestions or not an opinion. This is our Redeemer speaking to us. This is our commander and king giving marching orders. If we saw this accurately, we would see the Lord Jesus saying to us, "Mac, I want you to give attention to the humble and the needy. I want you to show hospitality more because you're lacking. This is what I'm asking you to do." We have to see these commands, Romans 12, anywhere else, they're not just neat ideas and good options and cool thoughts. If we're not obeying, we're self-deceived. Christ calls us to live as He lived. He calls us to love as He loved. He calls us to walk as He did. He calls us to obey our Father as He obeyed our Father. All right, next truth. Why should we be a doer? Because daily and weekly, we have opportunities and choices to apply things. Think about it. We just heard, if we don't make a decision to implement something, we just hear about it, think about it, and go away and we don't make a decision, I'm going to implement this in my life and I'm going to be a doer of this. If we don't do that about daily choices, we won't walk in it. We won't live it. Daily obedience. Think about a week in your life. How do you live? What are your disciplines? How do you walk? What are your choices? How do you live your Christian life? How consistently? How inconsistently? 1 week of our lives is a miniature picture of our whole life. How you live now consistently is how you will probably live 5 years from now. Young people, the choices you make in life right now at this juncture in your life will shape decisions, good or bad, 5 years from now. So this is the real thing we're talking about here. How we apply and obey the truth any given week is a brief picture of how we will live the Christian life. Well, the fourth reason we should be a doer is this. Our time is short. What did James say life is? He didn't say, what is your life like? He said, what is your life? It's a vapor. Anybody here in their 70s? It's a vapor, isn't it, brother? I'm almost there. Linda and I celebrated our 43rd anniversary, May 27th, and we came to Colorado on our honeymoon. We went to Evergreen, Littleton, and other places. 43 years. Oh, the grace she's had. But listen, we can remember our wedding day like it was a couple of years ago. Not all the details. We must live as if our time is short, because it is. I called a pastor friend of mine in Grand Junction as we went through there, Tim King, dear man. And we hadn't talked in a long time. And I said, well, how are things going? He kind of gave me a summary. I gave him a summary. And I said, well, how are your children? He said, well, we lost one of them. 10 years ago, she was 21, killed by a drunk driver. And he said, we were able to go to that guy. He did prison. He's out. We were able to go to him and in love tell him that we forgave him, and now we're ministering to him. The 21-year-old daughter woke up that morning, not a thought that it would be her last. And because we don't know when will be our last, we must live in light of fully obeying Christ daily, weekly. You know, Paul mentioned this in 1 Corinthians 7:29-31. Now therefore, brethren, the time is short. Let those who are married be as though they're not. Wow. Paul, you're single. You don't know what you're talking about. Let those who gain be as though they own nothing. What he means is the eternal Christian journey trumps marriage and work and business and everything. We have to live as a Christian obeying Christ because the time is short. It's short. Brethren, each of us, our life is a vapor. We're here, we're gone. We're not promised tomorrow or next year to be able to walk in obedience. And if we're honest, and God has grace and kindness for us in this, we all know we're lacking in obeying the Bible. We all know more than we're light than we're walking in. So may God give us grace to ramp up from the heart our obedience, so we can catch up with our Bible knowledge. And I took a year off from reading books totally, and I read the Bible. Because I'm not an intellectual, but it was just knowledge puffing up. And so it was a good Sabbath and a good annual 1 year fasting from reading anything else, because God wanted me to get more real, more practical, more relational, and more walking out the truth. So today, let's just, if you're still in James, if you're not, just listen. Let's hear Christ through James, because Christ is speaking to us this morning about this text. But be doers of the word, not just a hearer, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself. We've done that this morning. We've observed ourselves in light of this. If he observes himself, and goes away and forgets what kind of man he is. He was. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in their life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you in the way only that you can to apply this to us. And we ask you today, all together, we ask you for a fresh, new deposit of grace in our lives. Grace for obedience. Grace to apply and obey the Word. Grace to live it. Lord, what would it mean for us and for this church if our lives begin to catch up, living what we know, practicing these things? Lord, help us. Only by your Spirit will we not become a forgetful hearer, but a doer. So work that in us for your glory, for the honor of Christ, for the good of your church, and for the blessing and salvation of this world. In Christ's name, amen.